Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Comic Chatter. Today we're going to be discussing the rankings of every episode for Season 1 of Marvel's What If. That's right, we're going to be, and the nature of these rankings, they're going to be very personal. We're not going to try being unbiased at all. Like, my guest today is
Sicily,
as always, because I mean, we're still kind of in a pandemic, I guess. So yeah, also I just don't really have that many friends, but anyway, so we're going to be doing two separate lists as we're going. I'm kind of going to give my reasoning, she's going to give hers, and afterwards I do have another trailer reaction plan for the ending of this, because apparently that's just what I do now. I do trailer reactions at the end of episodes. If you guys want to check out the previous episode of Comic Chatter that I've done, you can check out the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show archives, available on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and more. Pretty much anywhere. We got the show on Facebook now. Like, not even just me copy pasting to Facebook, like, just go 73 Dream Studios Variety Show on Facebook, and it's there.
Hell yeah.
I love it. All right, so we're going to hop right into it. Number 9. That might repeat itself, but it's fine. All right, so I guess I'll go first. My number 9 was What If 4 Were an Only Child?
Wow.
What was your number 9?
Mine was episode 1, What If Agent Carter Was the First Avenger.
Okay, so why is that your number 9, your least favorite?
I mean, I guess, like, essentially it was just because this was the one that I wasn't the most enthusiastic about story-wise. I mean, it was interesting to see how it played out. But, I mean, I wasn't, like, super, like, yes, this was amazing, world-changing, I've never seen anything like this before. Like, I don't know, it just wasn't super great.
Yeah, it was pretty, like, compared to everything else, it was pretty safe, I would say.
Yeah.
The reason why What If 4 Were an Only Child in mine, so first off, as you said, I also noted what the diverging events for each episode is, because every episode is kind of boiled down to, like, one event changing from the MCU and that just spiraling. So for Captain Carter, it was literally just, like, because in Captain America the First Avenger, they tell Peggy Carter, wouldn't you feel more comfortable watching from up there? And she says yes. In this episode, she says no.
Right.
So she's in a position to actually take the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah.
For What If 4 Were an Only Child, the big diverging event is, instead of, like, kidnapping Loki and adopting him, Odin just gives him back to his father. So Loki is never Thor's adoptive brother at all. He gets to stay a frost giant, basically.
Mm.
So the reason why 4 Were an Only Child being my number 9, you kind of see how 4 is in the first movie, and you get to see, like, the fact that he never matures beyond that, because he just never had Loki, apparently. Like, a lot of people have noted how this episode is basically just Loki and 4 kind of, they needed each other, almost, in a way. Actually, I don't even want to say that, because a lot of people were like, look at how happy Loki is as a frost giant.
Yeah, for real.
man, 4 really ruined Loki's life, like, or more specifically, Odin ruined Loki's life. It's low on my list because, like, there really wasn't anything happening. It was kind of just, like...
It was pretty uneventful.
Yeah, like, critics basically accused the writers of inserting Ms. Marvel into this episode just to fill the rule of there having to be one fight scene per episode. Mm-hmm. At least one. So, she was used way better throughout this What If series, so I didn't like that she was kind of just shoved in there. The whole episode was mediocre to me, especially in comparison to the rest of the series. Ending was good, simply in that it set up intrigue for the next episode, which not a lot... I think this is the first time an episode sets up what comes next. Because, like, the 6 episodes prior to this were very self-contained.
Yeah.
Like, And I feel like that says something, that your weakest episode is the first one to be the one that's like, okay, here's a reason to come back next week. One thing I noted that's kind of a theme throughout most of this series is it seems like the MCU romances are just infinite among all the timelines, because Four and Jane Foster still end up together.
Mm, yeah.
Excited to see Natalie Portman come back. I'm one of a few people that's excited to see her come back, because she's going to be female Four in the next movie. So I'm excited for that. All right, so number 8. What is your number 8?
Mine was What If Thor Was an Only Child.
All right, did you have anything to add to what I said, or...
I mean, I could also say the same thing for this one that I said for the Agent Carter episode, that just wasn't super engaging or eventful.
You would think that those episodes would be more eventful, considering they're like the building blocks of the MCU.
Literally.
Like, you're changing something so early into this history, but they're so self-contained.
Yeah. It kind of seemed like an afterthought in a way.
The most exciting thing, I won't save that part until I get to it on my list, I guess. But my number 8 was What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark?
Mm.
That was my number 8. The diverging event there, it's so weird because there's so much history with Killmonger that we don't fully know. But apparently the diverging event is in the main timeline, he never meets the Ten Rings. But in this timeline, he does. Finds out about their plan to kidnap Tony Stark, and then he just makes this whole master plan from there of, I'm going to team up with Tony Stark to take out my cousin.
It works.
And then I'm going to take, it's a master plan. I was super happy that Michael B. Jordan came back. No guests from the Cats. Anyway, listen here, I'm talking about Panthers, not Cats. Anyway, so Killmonger was, Michael B. Jordan's role as Killmonger was amazing. I absolutely loved it. It was interesting to revisit the events of the first film, simply because the character growth we see for Iron Man in the movies is all based off the trauma he experiences in the first film.
Mm.
This episode takes all that away, and he never matures.
Yeah.
He is still an asshole. He treats Pepper kind of like shit. Doesn't he fire Rhodey at one point? Or no, he gives Killmonger Rhodey's job, I think, is what happens. So that, like, I didn't like that. The late inclusion of Wakanda, it was welcome, but it left me wanting more. I wanted to see more from the Wakanda characters. And the plot itself, it just left a lot to be desired for me. On paper, it's appealing to combine these strong elements of Iron Man and Black Panther, but we're left with them as an incomplete puzzle pieces that just don't fit together.
Yeah.
Killmonger has a strong message, and Black Panther was the moral high ground in that movie that was needed to stand against him. Tony fails as that counterpart. If anything, Tony is the reason, people like Tony Stark is the reason Killmonger had a journey to begin with. Like, Tony is literally the white man developing the weapons that are used to kill Killmonger's people. Like, as far as Killmonger's concerned, Tony is evil incarnate. And it's hard to root for Tony because he never actually achieves that level of growth. So you don't really have someone you're really cheering for in this episode. It's just kind of there for me.
Mm.
It was an interesting experiment, but it's not up to snuff for me.
That's fair.
Number 7. My number 7... was What If Captain Carter Were the First Avenger. So she was a couple of spots higher on my list. What did I want to say here? I did like that they kept Steve Rogers in play because as the Hydra Stomper.
Yeah.
So he was basically just the first ever, like, Iron Man, apparently.
Yeah, he still had a pretty important role.
He takes the role of Bucky because he sort of gets lost.
Yeah.
And but still him and Peggy's relationship was interwoven in this series. So once again, it's a romance that travels across all the timelines. Biggest thing against this, the only reason why this is in the lower tier of the episodes for me is, as we said, it plays it too safe.
Yes.
Like, out of the 3 lower tier episodes for me, the Killmonger episode was the one that was the most experimental, but it just didn't click for me. Agent Carter and 4, too safe. Like, there wasn't enough different for me. They were exploring a little bit, but There wasn't big world-changing events that came from Captain Carter. It's like, it literally was just like, okay, now everything else is as is, except now Peggy Carter is Captain America, basically.
Hmm.
That was all I saw. Oh, but I was super impressed with the fact that instead of being frozen in ice, Peggy's just transported to a fucking alternate universe or whatever.
Yeah.
And just gets to fight a tentacle monster for who knows how long it was for her and comes back in time for the Avengers movie. Like, yeah. I was like, wait, what? She's way more badass now. Like, what was your number seven?
Mine was the Killmonger episode.
So our lower tier episodes, our bottom three was the same. Yes. Did you have anything to add to what I said about Killmonger episode?
I mean, I just feel like it wasn't fleshed out enough and, like, I don't know, not that much thought was put into it. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they were like, here's the main things we want to happen. Let's just go with it. And, yeah. like, they didn't really think too much into it. Like, I don't know. I feel like the Tony Stark part of it wasn't really thought of, like, that much at all. They're kind of just like, he's gonna be in the story, but
right. All right, so our lower tier was the same. I feel like now that we're getting into the middle tier, we're gonna differentiate a lot. I feel like, because my number six, it's not gonna be a popular decision here. A lot of our audience is gonna be pissed at me. My number six, what if T'Challa became a Star-Lord?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm ranking that low.
Damn.
What's your number six?
My number six is the what if zombies.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So, do you want to go? I hyped up how shitty my people are going to think of me, so I guess I'll go first there. So, T'Challa becoming Star-Lord, the diverging point there, Yondu entrusted picking up Peter Quill to his lackeys, and his lackeys fucked up and picked up T'Challa instead. And that's literally the diverging point, that Yondu just didn't do it himself. The plot, it's a little far-fetched to say that this one moment drastically changed everything. Mm. I know I just complained that some episodes played it too safe, but are you seriously telling me that T'Challa is able to talk down Thanos from his master plan of wiping out half the universe?
Apparently.
I also did not like that instead of, like, forming the Guardians of the Galaxy, he just keeps the Ravagers, like...
Yeah.
We get, like, little cameo appearances from Drax and Nebula, but we don't get... We also get a cameo from Star-Lord at the end of the episode, but, like, it was a little lame, to be honest. It was a whack cliffhanger that you don't get revisited until, if you were watching this in real time, you don't get to see the answer to that climax until, like, 6-7 weeks later, if you're binging it 6 or 7 episodes later. But, like... I didn't like it. Chadwick Boseman, I was so happy he was able to record this beforehand. I love it, but I'm gonna tell you and the audience something you're not gonna want to hear. It's nostalgia. It is rose-tinted glasses on a mediocre episode.
Damn.
I love him. I love his work. He's a great actor. He is a pro for this episode, but you can only work with what you got. And this episode was haphazard to me. It was all over the place. It was, I feel like at post-production, which probably came after Chadwick Boseman's death, they kind of just wanted to turn it into something else. They wanted to turn it into a memorial to him. And I can respect that, but I feel like the original intentions may have been lost in the editing process.
That's fair.
What did you have to say about zombies?
Overall, it was a good idea. I liked some aspects of the episode. Like, it definitely was a good one. It was better than some of the lower ranked ones that we've already talked about. Like, I enjoyed watching it. But honestly, a lot of the OP fucking superheroes died, like, right off the bat. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, I really liked what they did with Wanda. Like, that was really dope to me.
Yes.
And, like, the dynamic between her and Vision and how Vision, like, really wanted to keep her alive.
Another couple that's together throughout the entire what-if verse, like...
Like, I really liked that aspect of it. And, yeah, I mean, it was good for the most part. There was only, like, a couple of things that I was like, why? But...
I'm gonna respond to that real quick because What If Zombies is my number five.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it one up on you. To be clear, the diverging point actually happens in what the events of what would be the Ant-Man and the Wasp film, because when they go to save Janet Van Dyne, it's revealed in the What If universe that Janet Van Dyne was already dead and was a zombie in the quantum realm.
Oh.
And they save her, bring her back, and that's how the zombie virus started.
Interesting.
Yeah, did you not remember that?
No.
Yeah, that's why later on in the episode, Hope basically says, "Yeah, this is my fault," because she's the one who wanted to bring her mother back so badly. Mm. Now I don't know if you're aware of this. This whole universe has source material. There is literally an entire franchise of Marvel Zombies comics to pull from for this. And I gotta call it out. I'm super happy they did this. Black Panther, that scene where it's revealed that Black Panther is being kept alive, but as a food source, like he's an amputee at this point, that's straight from the comics. It's not the same circumstances, because in the comics, the heroes are way more evil. Like, in the comics, the zombies are aware. They're able to talk, they're able to think, they're able to do more. It's just, like, they even retain their powers. All of them do, which, I mean, they do retain their powers in this episode, but they don't necessarily retain the intelligence.
Yeah.
Or the sentience. They're literally just zombies. Marvel Zombies was so fucked up for me because they understood that they were turning into monsters, and at some point, they just didn't care.
I feel like they missed out on the opportunity to go that route. Like, I feel like it would have been a lot more awesome,
right,
if they were more sentient instead of just like, oh, I'm a zombie and somehow I have powers, but I don't know how to use them. I'm just gonna... I mean, Wanda was probably one of the only ones that actually was like...
Oh yeah, Wanda was
aware of how to use her powers.
She was the closest thing to showing some sort of sentience because she recognized that Vision was dead.
Right.
And she took... It was brief, but she took the time to mourn him.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the closest hint of zombies having sentience.
Right.
And even then, that could just be because she was constantly exposed to Vision's Mind Stone. Because Vision said that he wasn't able to cure Wanda.
Mm.
But he tried. So I'm like, what if he actually did? What if he got a little bit in there and Wanda's just so... has such a broken persona to begin with? Also, just pointing it out, the mirror image here, WandaVision. Wanda does something terrible to keep the memory of Vision alive. Vision does something terrible to keep the memory of Wanda alive.
Exactly.
It's in there. In the comics, though, it was actually Hank Pym, I believe it was. Yeah, it was Ant-Man. Ant-Man literally kept T'Challa alive so that he could use him as a food source for himself.
Oh.
Yeah, they did a lot of fucked up things in the comics. Spider-Man is a zombie in the comics. And it's like the most traumatizing thing because when he realizes he's infected, he goes home and he tells his wife, Mary Jane Watson, and his Aunt May that they need to run and they need to go where he'll never find them. But before they leave the house, he finally turns and he eats them.
Oh.
And it's like...
Jesus.
The first victims. That's why I was so happy that Spider-Man was not turned in this episode. They teased it. They teased it multiple times. I just love it. We had a nice ensemble cast here because, as you said, they took out the heavy hitters right away.
Yeah.
Well, I fully expected Kurt to live. Kurt was the, like, Bulgarian, I think it was. Bulgarian guy from the Ant-Man films.
Oh, okay.
I fully expected him to live. He did not, though. At one point, I was like, I swear to God, if Kurt fucking lives out of everyone in this cast... But we lost Agent 13, we lose Bruce Banner at the end, we lost Hope, we lost we did lose Okoye, and I was pissed at how Okoye went out.
Yeah. Her death was really futile.
She was just like, Wakanda forever, and then dies. Like, but she says it so rushed, it's like, I know I'm gonna die, but I really just want to save this one last thing.
Oh my gosh.
Fucking, literally, there's three people that live, and two of them are amputees.
Yep.
Because there's Black Panther who doesn't have legs, did he have like one leg? I forget. And
no,
then
no, I don't think he did.
And then there was Scott Lang who was just a head, and the only way he was able to get around was he had the cloak of levitation.
Mm.
Like, what the fuck? Oh my gosh! Episode, like many others, is left on a cliffhanger as Spider-Man, T'Challa, and the bodiless Scott Lang seek refuge in Wakanda, which has been noted as being the last known human population in the world because shit got fucked up real fast. We also see Thanos fell to the zombie virus. So now now he's got 5 of the 6 Infinity Stones because the 3 survivors still had the Mind Stone because that's their last hope to cure everyone of the zombie virus. And now Marvel's announced that this one episode is getting a whole series spun off around it. How do you feel about that?
I would be interested to see how they portray the series.
Right.
I don't know how they would continue from the point, like, if they would just continue from the point they left off at or what. I don't know what I would be expecting from it, but I would be intrigued at the least.
All right. So I went up at length about my number 5. What is your number 5?
What if the world lost its mightiest heroes?
Okay. Okay. Continue.
I honestly, like, I don't necessarily have anything bad to say about the episode. Like, I did actually enjoy it. But honestly, like, the episode didn't get really good for me until, like, it was pretty much just sad for, like, a majority of the episode, which is, I know that's what they were going for. And I didn't, like, start to, like, really enjoy it until the end of the episode when Nick Fury has that, like, big boss fight. And just, like, the, like, seeing, for one, how smart Nick Fury is when he fights was really cool to see.
You know that wasn't Nick Fury, right?
Well, it was Loki.
Yes.
It was Loki helping him.
No, that was just straight up.
It was
up.
All Loki?
Yeah, that's all Loki. Was it
Nick Fury's voice, though? Or was Loki talking Nick Fury?
Yeah, don't you remember Loki's power? He's literally the trickster god. He literally just can cast an illusion and then take anyone's personage and voice.
Well, I know that that's, like, his fucking thing, but I also didn't know, like, I don't know the extent of his fucking powers. I don't know every power that he's able to do.
Yeah, Nick Fury wasn't there. Like, he told Loki to go there. It was Nick Fury's plan.
Well, yeah. So, either way, that was his plan to do the fight. So, either way, it was Nick Fury's image.
I did love Samuel L. Jackson's performance in that scene.
Yes. Anyways, stop stomping all over what I'm trying to say. Anyways. I enjoyed watching the fight sequence that Loki was conducting, even though it was Nick Fury's idea to do the fight. And anyways, the conversation that happened amongst the fight and even after the fight was just, like, it was really nice to see. I don't know, just, like, the way that the episode ended was just, like, a very nice ending for me to see, and I was like, wow. That was really nice.
I really love Nick Fury. Just how Samuel Jackson plays cocky, like, unassuming Nick Fury. Because I just remember the line where Loki's just like, yeah, I did this. And then Nick Fury's like, so, and that's why you killed this person? Like, he's just acting like he doesn't know anything, but it's really Loki. So Loki's legit just like, oh, so you did this. And as we're dancing around, the killer for this episode, Hank Pym. Did you have anything more to say? Or?
No, not really.
Okay, well, then I'll just continue, because what if Earth Lost Its Mightiest Heroes is my number 4? Yeah, my ranking is off from yours simply because I put Star-Lord T'Challa so low.
Yeah, literally.
Oh my gosh. The diverging event for this is that Hope Van Dyne became an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then she died on a mission. And so now Hank Pym just loses his fucking mind in grief, and takes the Ant-Man suit, and this shows you how powerful the Ant-Man technology actually is. As you said, it's a very sad take. It's noir-esque because there's a mystery feel to it. He just kills everyone. He kills Iron Man, he kills Hulk, he kills Thor, he kills Hawkeye, he even kills Black Widow eventually, even though the first half of this episode is centered around Black Widow. And it was epic because it's like, okay, like, what's going on? The first half, it's like, who done it? What the hell's happening? And then finally, it's revealed that he did it, and they show in detail how he did everything. And I'm pretty sure he kills Hulk literally by going inside of him and then just throwing a growth thing on his heart. And it's like, what? And the ending, as you're alluding to, it was nice. It was a little strange, simply because it's basically like, okay, so we don't have Avengers anymore. Like, we can wake up Captain America and we can call Captain Marvel, but that's it. The Avengers are two people now. And now you gotta deal with the events of the Avengers movie while with, like, less than half the team. Are you having fun over there, miss? Anyway. And let's see here. Yep, we call down... Oh, yes, something else I appreciated. It confirmed a timeline of Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, and 4 all happened within 1 week. Those three movies all happened in 1 week.
Damn.
And that's just blows my mind, because you have all these movies and you're trying to figure out the timeline, but this one episode's like, oh no, that was literally all 1 week. Like, they all just happened within days of each other.
The timeline is so fucked up. I feel like at this point, like, the producers and shit are just like, let's just say this happened in a day. Why not?
At some point, I will sit down and I will discuss the MCU timeline on Comic Chatter.
That I won't be there, because that's a whole headache for me.
I'm going to tell you right now, later, we're not going to do it right now, but later we are going to delve a little into Spider-Man No Way Home spoilers, just because it's going to be based on one of the theories I have coming out of this show. But non-spoiler thing about No Way Home, the time it's that movie spans, when you try looking at how it compares to the MCU timeline, there's like multiple movies that happen during the events of No Way Home. All right, man. No. That what was your number 4?
The T'Challa episode.
We did it again.
Yeah, we did.
All our middle tier was the same episodes, just different order.
Yes.
What did you have anything to add about the Star-Lord T'Challa episode?
I really just enjoyed the comedy of this episode. Like, it was really fun to see how T'Challa could be like such a like easygoing, funny dude. Like, I don't know, like, seeing him as Black Panther, he seems, like, a lot more serious and, like, he's just a completely different person as Black Panther rather than as a Star-Lord. So it was funny to see him in a different role and, like, just see how it played out. And it was really cool to see him with a different group of people and, like, yeah, it was funny. It was nice to watch. I enjoyed it.
Understandable. Rose-tinted glasses, as they may be. Shut the fuck up. All right, so we're going to get into our top tier now, because that was our middle tier. Those were what we were like, mediocre to good. Lower tier was very mediocre to bad.
Agent Carter.
And now we get to the cream of the crop, the top tier, 3 through 1. What was your number 3?
What if Ultron won?
Yo, that was my number 3 too.
Yeah! What if we have the same top 3?
It's not gonna happen, I feel like. Because I know what your number 1 might be, but... Anyway, so number 3, what if Ultron won? The diverging event, Ultron successfully transfers his body to Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a whole... Apparently, Ultron is a better villain than Thanos.
Yeah, he literally just becomes OP. Like, he literally, like, just fucking slices Thanos in half. I was what?
With a thought. And I'm just here like, wait, are you telling me Vision could have done that to Thanos the whole time?
I guess that's what that implies. I don't know.
But and here's the thing. I want to point this out. Literally at no point in this in fucking Infinity War is Vision in the same location as Thanos. Until the end when Infinity War spoilers, in case y'all lived under a rock. But until the end... When Vision is already dead and Thanos just rewinds time and quickly kills him over again.
Yeah.
So at no point in Infinity War does Vision actually have a chance to fight Thanos.
This is true.
So this is, at this point, it's like, yo, what if they let Vision fight instead of just fucking hiding him for the entire movie?
Then there would be less movies.
We wouldn't have had Endgame. Like, we wouldn't have had to do a 5-year time jump. Like... Oh my gosh, what do you have to say about this about this episode?
It was really strange to see, like, how Ultron would fucking overpower everyone, like, as in Vision's body.
Yeah.
And, like, also the fact that he was, like, the first, like, he was the first character who actually, like, not actually, but, so, he was one of the characters that interacted with the Watcher, and seeing him actually, like, go into the dimension that the Watcher was in. I don't know what that's called.
Me either. Like,
but
I'm sure if there's some source material for it out there. Speaking of source material, this whole episode is, it's much like What If Zombies. It's not a direct adaptation, but it's inspired by a alternate universe in the comics called Age of Ultron. which is literally What If Ultron Won. Mm. It's like a post-apocalyptic world, which this very much is, because as you see in the episode, he literally just activates all the fucking nukes in the world and destroys the majority of humanity. At one point, Black Widow and Hawkeye just flat out say, like, yeah, no, we're literally the last people on this planet.
Yeah.
Which, Hawkeye with, like, a mechanical arm, thank you. I love it. I love it and I hate it, because Hawkeye just gets the most shit out of everyone. Literally, in different source materials, he loses his hearing, he's going blind, he loses an arm. He just gets fucked up the most out of everyone in the comic universe, I believe. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about it, or?
Yes. Continuing on the Watcher aspect, literally, like, almost in every episode that you see the Watcher, he's just like, I cannot interfere.
Yes.
And in this episode, like, right when he notices that Vision, like, not Vision, that when Ultron sees him, and he's just like, he basically, like, makes sure that he can't see him or whatever, and then he's just like, he can't get to me. And then he literally gets to him, and you would think at this point, he would literally just let him kill the Watcher because, like, he's not supposed to interfere.
I can't interfere. Like, but wait, you mean I'm supposed to die?
Like, he literally fights back, and in that moment, it's like he's already broke his oath, but then later on in the episode, he's like, but should I?
Yeah, right?
Like, you've already gotten to this point, bro.
I love the dialogue he has throughout this episode, because, like, in the moment when he realizes Ultron can see him, he's literally narrating the events. He's like, yes, and then with how much power he has grown, he's able to see, he's able to be aware of the, and then Ultron speaks, and then the Watcher's just like, zoop, and he's like, huh. Never had anyone see it. Never had anything like that happen before, which is bullshit. As you said earlier,
yeah.
there is one other person we'll get to that said that sees him. So I'm just like, yo, is that filmed out of order or something? Because he acts as if no one's ever fucking seen him before. Meanwhile, he's literally narrating that this dude's becoming self-aware.
Right.
And then he's like, I laughed really hard when Hawkeye is close to finding the way to beat Ultron. Because the Watcher's like, Come on, it's right there. I can't interfere, but it's right there. And then when Hawkeye just starts to get up, he's like, it's right there. We're never going to find this, but it's right there. Just look. He's like begging so bad. He's like, it's right there. Just see it. Like,
he'll fucking fight Ultron, but he won't tell somebody how to save the fucking world.
It was self-defense, apparently. Like, that whole fight scene was trippy as fuck. I loved it. There was an Easter egg in there where apparently there's a universe where it's not Captain America, it's President Rogers. Captain America is just a president in an alternate universe. I really hope they visit that in a season 2. I do believe they announced season 2. Yeah, they definitely did. All right. It does its best to build tension for whether the Watcher breaks his oath or not. But we saw that coming a mile away, didn't we?
Yeah.
This whole series was literally based around, like, what if the Watcher breaks his oath?
Ooh.
I pointed this out to you. There's one moment in this episode I loved, and it's when Hawkeye says that he's tired of fighting. Because he's hanging from a ledge with Black Widow hanging onto him, and he lets go.
It's a whole fucking Lion King moment, except he lets go and he's not just ripped from.
I love it because it's literally a callback to Endgame.
Yes.
When Black Widow is hanging off the ledge and Hawkeye's trying to pull her up and she lets go. So I'm just like, okay, I love it. I love the symmetry there. It's perfect. But now Black Widow is literally the only human being left on the planet. And to be clear, what they were trying to do here was they were trying to get Arnim Zola. You might have forgotten him. He was a villain in Captain America and the Winter Soldier. But they get Arnim Zola and they try to use him to basically, like, override Ultron. Because he's the only one that can do it, apparently.
Right.
And, like, they fail because by the time they finally upload Zola, Ultron's not in the universe. Because apparently, even though it's unlimited range, it doesn't count for an alternate universe.
Mm.
So, yeah, Hawkeye died for nothing, apparently. All right, what is your number two?
What if the Watcher broke his
oath? Oh my god, we got the same. We did the same thing. Our bottom tier is the same. Okay, so what if the Watcher broke his oath? Diverging point, the Watcher broke his oath.
Yeah, literally, like, episode fucking
Nine or
episode 8 and 9, like episode 8 pretty much leads right into episode 9.
So the Watcher recruits multiple people from the past episodes. He recruits Captain Carter, Star-Lord T'Challa, evil Doctor Strange,
and Thor,
which we will get into, Killmonger,
yeah,
Party 4, and lost episode Gamora.
Yes.
because I remember Sicily seeing Gamora get recruited and she's like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, oh yeah, there's like a whole episode that got cut.
Yeah, I was like, alrighty then.
Yeah, there apparently there's a whole episode where like Gamora gets put on Sakaar instead of being adopted by Thanos, but she eventually grows up to kill Thanos. I don't know, I didn't see the episode, it never aired, I'm guessing. But either way, like, they're all recruited for a reason, which I liked. Captain Carter and T'Challa, they're, like, the leaders. They're both very A-type personalities. Most people in this episode are. Four's just a powerhouse. Fucking Killmonger. Killmonger was, I thought he was brought on for strategy, but he really didn't do anything. he was a pawn in a larger game.
Yes, exactly.
Evil Doctor Strange did all the work.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like Evil Doctor Strange was the real powerhouse. He was the reason no one died in this episode.
In this episode, we learned that even though we didn't get Guardians of the Galaxy, we got Guardians of the fucking multiverse.
Yep, that's literally what they're called. Oh my goodness. So it's nice because I almost don't want to say it yet because I want to talk about Evil Doctor Strange, but I want to talk about his episode before I talk about him.
Yeah, well, we won't talk too much about what happened in his episode. We'll just talk about his role in this episode.
Oh, no, I have so much to say about his episode. Oh, my God. Well, yeah,
we have to save that for our number one, though.
Okay, so in this episode, Evil Doctor Strange gets a moment of redemption because he kind of has that light bulb. Because at the end of the episode, by the way, they also recruited Age of Ultron Black Widow at some point. Because out of all the universes to fight Ultron, they decided to fight him in his own universe.
Yes.
And after realizing their plan was futile, don't know what the full plan was, because it was a plan crafted by Gamora when she used it on her world.
Yes, which we didn't see. She had a stone crusher that could crush the soul stone.
I think it's powered by the soul stone, and then it crushes all the rest.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Again, they literally did not describe how this plan was going to work at all.
Yeah.
It was all supposed to be based off of that one episode that never got released. It's supposed to come in season 2. I don't know. It's probably going to be the opening of season 2, because otherwise it has no meaning for the story of season 2, but
yeah.
Either way. So she tries to crush the stones, and then there's a rule where the stones are unique to each universe.
Yeah, which we find out like towards the end of the battle between them.
So if they're unique to each universe, then why the fuck are they all useless paperweights in the Loki series?
That's a good question.
Like, what the fuck? There's been multiple questions as to whether What If is canon to the MCU or not. I will argue that it is, but I'll get into why later. I'll say this was a very fitting conclusion. Every episode got added in, even the zombies.
Yep.
Even zombie Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
Which I'm just like, okay, but does that mean zombie Scarlet Witch isn't going to be in the What If Zombie series? Like, was that just, they were just like, oh, fuck, she's too OP. We gotta write her out real quick. Make sure that she's not there when we go back to that universe, because otherwise, fuck. We just fucked everything up. And did you want to drop the bomb of what they did with Age of Ultron Black Widow after the fight?
They put her in another universe?
They put her in the universe where all the Avengers died. So they tied in that episode as well.
Right.
And the ending was great because evil Doctor Strange has his epiphany.
I want to know, like, literally, so actually, I mean, I kind of just thought of the answer in my head, but like, so Black Widow was the only one that they put into a different universe because they felt bad for her, I guess.
The Watcher did, yeah.
Yeah, the Watcher felt bad for her, but then Agent Carter is just like, hey, can you do that for me? And he was just like, people need you in your universe. And she was like, all right, fuck you then.
She didn't even want an alternate universe. She just wanted She wanted to go back in time so she could save Steve. And he's like, they need you in your time.
Like, he's just like, I'll interfere when I want to, not when you want me to.
Basically, and then, like, 5 minutes later, post-credit scene, turns out Steve Rogers, Hydra Stomper, is still alive in her universe. So I guess he knew that that would happen. Because the epiphany evil Doctor Strange has is that the Watcher somehow knew even this very fight was going to happen and that it was going to play out the way it would. With Arnim Zola takes over Ultron, Killmonger takes over the armor. Killmonger wants the stones and the power for himself because he believes in the power. And then him and Arnim Zola fight over the stones, and then Doctor Strange is just like, we were never meant to win. We were just meant to separate the stones from a host. And then he just, like, mumbo jumbo magic makes a pocket universe for Killmonger and Arnim Zola to just fight over the stones for eternity.
Yep.
And then he gets to go back to his pocket universe, which we will get into.
Yes.
Because did you have anything else to say for this episode?
I don't think so.
Then number one, well, let's say it together. Well, if you can, if you remember the actual name of the episode.
Yes.
What if
Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands?
And the diverging point of this episode would be that, because I'm pretty sure in the Doctor Strange film, Doctor Strange is by himself when he gets in the car accident.
Yeah.
In this, it's Christine is in the car with him. Which, I'm so confused how you still get in a car accident. Because in the other one, he was on his phone, he was being a dick. And this one, he was literally with Christine.
I just based off the title, I literally thought that somehow he's gonna lose his actual heart. Right? I was like, how the fuck is that gonna work?
But this was so much more effective. It was so emotional. This was the strongest story of the entire fucking series. It stood by itself above the rest. I almost cried watching this episode. Oh my gosh. It left me wanting more. Benedict Cumberbatch, incredible actor. I forget that he also has experience voice acting because he was also the voice of Smaug in the Hobbit movies.
Oh.
But, like, he just does such a great Doctor Strange here. And he, like, if there's enough genuflection and enough difference in tone of his voice that, because at one point in this episode, he plays both good Doctor Strange and evil Doctor Strange, the little Jekyll and Hyde situation there. And there's enough where it's almost like their voices are similar, but they're distinct.
Yes.
Like, if you were to close your eyes and listen to this, you would be able to tell that this was two different versions of the same person. It was powerful. We get to see him shine as a character with just raw power. It stands to reason that if the Sorcerer Supreme were to lose his morals that he had gained in the primary timeline, that power is just abused to the infinitum, as we saw. Because he can literally just freeze his own body in time. I'm not sure how that works. You remember that scene where he literally just, like, takes decades to absorb, like, hosts and whatever, but and then some dude who was young when he met him just dies of old age in the meantime. Yeah, like,
right,
but he doesn't age at all.
Yeah,
like, what happened there?
Couldn't tell you. Magic.
And to show just how powerful that he's become, evil Doctor Strange is the first person to be aware of the Watcher's presence. And the Watcher's not even perturbed by that at all.
No. Like, definitely, like, it was a different reaction from when he, interacted with, Ultron. Like, he seemed at least a little bit quaking in his boots when he saw fucking Ultron. Right? But that's also probably because he saw him literally destroy so many fucking universes. He was like, well, not universes, but worlds themselves. Yeah. He was like, I don't want this guy to be around me.
The emotion, I can't get over it, because there's literally a scene where he just tries saving Christine over and over.
Yeah, it's a montage.
He literally does so many things different. He's like, okay, I'm not gonna try passing this truck. Oh, I still got fucking rear-ended. All right, well, now I'm gonna try taking an alternate route. Oh no, a truck ran us over. Now I'm just going to beg her to not go. We're gonna go to a fucking pizza place. Someone walks in and shoots up the pizza place. Now I'm going to just no-show. She's going to wait for me. She's going to hate my guts, but she'll be alive. Fucking building is on fire, and she's one of the only confirmed kills. And then the most heartbreaking is when she's like, you look really upset. Let me drive. And then she's driving, and she's just like, is tonight going to be everything you want? And he's just there like, all I want is you. You're the only thing that matters. And then he watches as he loses her again. Mm-hmm. And I just teared up. I was like, no. This was my favorite episode simply because of it. Just, it's an emotional roller coaster. This was the only episode of the entire series where I put my phone down for the whole fucking episode.
Good for you.
I didn't fucking get distracted by Twitter or Snapchat or fucking Facebook. I was like, I want to experience this. I want to be present for this whole fucking story. And I did not regret it. Best fucking thing ever. Evil Doctor Strange is the number one character from this whole series, in my opinion.
Something that really struck me about this episode and, like, I thought was really, really cool was seeing, like, the extent of magic and, like, the dangers of, like, what can happen, like, when you, like, try to become more and more powerful than you're able to be, because pretty much, like, the evil Doctor Strange just doesn't have any limit with how far he will go in this episode.
Yeah.
And, like, it shows that, like, just because, like, you gain more power doesn't mean that you have more control, because that's basically what he's trying to do, is get to a point where he can literally control a time, like, an event in time that's not supposed to be changed.
It's fixed, yeah.
And he gets to the point where, like, he comes to the goal that he wants to achieve, and after that, he still finds himself not being in full control of what's happening.
Like, he loses his form and scares Christine, and then Christine starts dying anyway.
Yep.
And the whole fucking universe starts dying. And he literally is just like, I can fix this. I can fix this. And he just shoots out all his power, and all he manages to do is protect himself.
Yep. And the whole time the Watcher is literally just, like, looking at him, like, and he, like, they have a short conversation.
He literally begs him.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is like, literally save everyone else except for me. And he's just like, I can't interfere. Fuck you.
He flat out tells him, like, I've read about you. You are a god. You can fix everything. And he's like, I made an oath. And he's like, don't let them all suffer because of what I did. Please punish me, not them. And the Watcher's like, you should have thought about that.
Yeah.
and he's like, and now I leave. And Strange is like, no! Like,
yep, and then he just gets left by himself.
And at the end of what if the Watcher breaks his oath, Strange is just still in that pocket universe.
Yeah, and, except now he has to watch over another pocket universe.
And he tells the Watcher, I've got nothing but time.
Yep.
So that was nice. Our list actually lined up at the end.
Yeah.
It was a different journey to get there.
Yes, it was.
So I will say how this series leaves Evil Doctor Strange. I have some theories. And we're going to dive into... We're going to take a quick sponsor break while I set up the trailer for Multiverse of Madness. We are possibly out in the process of this going to discuss spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home. So I'll try to keep it limited, because by the time this episode comes out, it won't be on streaming or rentals or anything yet. So I want to give people that chance before I do a whole episode on that movie, because I will.
Oh,
yeah. I have so many things to say about
it. It's coming.
But we're going to have to talk about a few plot points while we discuss Multiverse of Madness. So, be forewarned, spoiler warning, heavy spoiler warning for Spider-Man No Way Home, and cut to sponsor. And we're back. All right, and now I'm going to click on this trailer, which is available on the Marvel Entertainment page. YouTube page, and go.
Let's get the shit.
Go. There we go. Ooh. Oh, man. Okay, we got the broken watch.
Time is broken!
Oh, shit. That looks familiar too. That's some imagery that was shared in the What If episode. But I never meant for any of this to happen. All right. Okay, so the girl with the star, and even that star door, that's America Chavez. She's a character from the comics.
I want to know what the wedding is for.
That some people, I couldn't see, but some people said that's Christine's wedding and that she's not marrying Doctor Strange.
Oh?
They said it doesn't look like Strange is the groom.
And of course, Wanda.
I made mistakes. Yeah,
he's like, I literally don't care about that.
I'm literally the only person that could do anything about what you did in Westview, and I didn't. What makes you think I fucking care? Like, yep, there's America Chavez in the background. I'm sorry, Steven. We finally get to see Baron Mordo again.
I have no idea who that is.
You already forgot the first movie?
Yeah.
There's Wong, the new Sorcerer Supreme. We got the tentacle monster.
That fucking tentacle monster has to mean something.
Oh,
like,
wait.
Things
just got out of. Oh, yeah, that's so evil, Doctor Strange. That's so evil, Doctor Strange.
Like, is it just, like, known, like... Is that in the comics that the evil Doctor Strange just, like, gets the power of the tentacle monster? Like, is that just, like, a thing?
I don't think there's a... I would have to do more research, but I don't think there's a precedent for evil Doctor Strange. I think that's, like, them being original for once.
Interesting.
Let me see if I can find a still shot of the groom, because everyone's like, oh, no, that's not Doctor Strange. Let's see. Oh, okay, wait.
It goes so fast.
Okay, wait. So I see what they mean. Da-da-da. Da-da-da.
They, like, really don't want you to see it. They're like, let's give you, like, 2 seconds.
So see, it doesn't... So it's hard to tell.
I mean, he's in a tux.
He's in a tux, but everyone's in a tux. But it looks like she's not going to him. It looks like she's going past him.
Yeah, like, it looks like he's in one of the pews in the church. Like, yeah. He's not at the very front.
So he's there for the wedding, but he's not in... Look at that face. That does not look like the face of a man getting married to the love of his
life.
Like,
look at the dude next to him looks more happy than Strange does.
I want to know who the fuck that is. That guy's going to be a main character. We already know. So we got America Chavez, who's going to be, like... Can you not? You're shaking the mic.
Anyways.
The America Chavez, who basically Marvel's building towards the Young Avengers. It's going to happen. Then we got Scarlet Witch coming back in her first appearance since WandaVision. Again, don't know why, out of all people, Doctor Strange didn't do something about that, but whatever.
Like, he had his own shit to worry about.
Doing what?
Who knows? The timeline is crazy.
He was blipped for 5 years. He ain't the Sorcerer Supreme.
Well, I mean, what was he supposed to do while he was blipped? He couldn't do anything.
Anyway. I mean, Wanda was blipped too, so she did that after the blip.
Beats me.
Anyway, but yeah, so fucking, like, what do you think? Because we got evil Doctor Strange, we got tentacle monsters, we got Baron Mordo. Who's the real big bad in this movie?
Obviously the tentacle monster.
Fuck the tentacle monster.
I mean, I would say that evil Doctor Strange is probably gonna be the big bad. Like, even if he teams up with the good Doctor Strange, like, they're gonna butt heads at some point. I worry that this movie is gonna be a little bit too convoluted, though, because there's a lot going on just off that trailer.
Yeah, like, I mean,
I feel like that's kind of the point of it, but also, like, I don't know if it's going to be structured well enough for it to be good. Like, I want it to be good, but also there's a lot going on.
I'm very confident in it. Like, I did like the first Doctor Strange movie. I like Doctor Strange in the No Way Home movie. I mean,
Benedict Cumberbatch is just an amazing actor.
The fact that we don't need to bring a second character in to play evil Doctor Strange. There's like, no, Benedict Cumberbatch has the range.
Yeah. But
he can be an evil Doctor Strange. Oh my gosh. If that movie's coming May 6th, 2022. So, shit, you're still in school by then, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, I guess I'm seeing it without you.
I don't know about that, Mr. Sir.
Listen here, babe. Like,
I'll miss school if I have to see this fucking movie.
You heard it here first. And insert college that Cicely goes to.
Fuck college. I'll watch a movie anytime.
Who needs an education when you can watch film? That was the life advice I took, guys.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting in front of a microphone, speaking to all of you.
Yep.
I couldn't be happier.
Our strong audience of however many. I don't actually know off the top of my head.
It goes up and down. Yeah. But we still got those loyalists.
Yep.
I love every one of you. Really. You're the ones that are paying my 25 cents an hour. Because someone still didn't give me a raise.
Don't look at me.
I'm literally doing the work of two people now, assholes. Anyway. But hey. Oh my god, I'm super hyped. Evil Doctor Strange, favorite character already. Fuck good Doctor Strange. I kind of want the bad guy to win this one. Yo, Evil Doctor Strange is
gonna... I don't think he really deserves it, though.
Here's what's gonna happen. Evil Doctor Strange is gonna be evil until he sees Christine. Mm. And he's gonna see Christine with someone else.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he's gonna be angry. But then they're gonna have that big moment between him and the good Doctor Strange. And he's just gonna be like, how did you do it? And good Doctor Strange is like, what? And he's like, how did you let her go? Because that's the one thing Evil Doctor Strange could never do. He could never let Christine go.
That's true.
And good Doctor Strange had to do it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Multiverse of Madness?
Fuck!
Accurate. Now, so again, America Chavez, for those that don't know, character mostly known in the Young Avengers. And I know the LGBT community is super hype because she was such a big representation in the comics. She is one of the, I think she might be the only Marvel character, major Marvel character, I'll say, that comes from a same-sex couple. Hmm. She has two mothers, and I'm pretty sure in whatever universe she's from, because they changed the origin story for America Chavez like 5-6 times in the last 7 years. But I think the most recent iteration is that her mothers came from an alternate universe where it was only women. And so that was big for her. I read her like 12-issue miniseries, and it was pretty fun. But other than that, Scarlet Witch. What do you think is going to happen with Scarlet Witch? Because that trailer did not focus on her nearly enough. I know it's not her movie, but still.
I feel like she's probably going to save the day, if not once, multiple times.
So there are, at the time of this recording, rumors. By the time this comes out, who knows? They'll probably confirm it. That Loki is in this movie.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right? Because, like, we're saying that, according to the Loki miniseries, Loki created the multiverse, supposedly.
I feel like he kind of just, like, he was the reason it happened, but I wouldn't say he, like, started it.
Like, a lot of people are confused, too, because they're like, where in the timeline is the Loki series? Because technically that whole series is outside of time. So it's like, what happens there? Like, as far as we know, it starts during the events of Endgame, but specifically the events of Endgame that were happening back in the Avengers movie. So that in itself is confusing.
I can barely keep track of my own fucking timeline. So I can't even fucking understand the timeline of the MCU.
Right? Oh, well, it's going to be exciting. I'm super happy for it. This episode's coming out, late January, so it's still like 4 months before this the movie comes out. What's happening between then? I honestly don't know. What there's no other Marvel movie happening before Doctor Strange, is there?
Not that I know of.
And I don't know what their TV series deal is right now. Disney Plus is big on Book of Boba Fett right now, so they haven't really announced when the next Disney Plus miniseries is. I know we're talking She-Hulk and Moon Knight, but and of course the Wakanda movie and TV series that follows that. But other than that, I'm not sure. Maybe this is like the big kickstart to the second half of Phase 4, because it's all still technically Phase 4. Hmm. Oh well. Either way, super excited. And next week, we're going to be doing this. Next week is going to be your last episode before you go back to college. Well, technically, you will have already gone back to college by the time it airs, but
that's the way our timeline works.
That's right. Now we're getting convoluted timelines for our channel. But anyway, next week, you and I are going to be doing the first Grappling with Rey of 2022. because I said that I wanted to travel more. I said I wanted to see more independent wrestling. You said you wanted to see a dog collar match. Out of everything that could have appeased your appetite, it was a dog collar match, apparently.
Yes.
So you
woof, woof.
So you and I are going to go see Limitless Wrestling present their Cut Loose event.
Oh, yeah.
So that event itself is January 22nd. So it'll be, as long as I release these in the order that I plan to, that'll be the Saturday after this episode airs. So our current plan is that you and I are both going to record our thoughts after the show, like same night in the hotel room, because we're just spending the night in Maine for that weekend. Sound like a plan?
Yes.
All right. So next week, we're going to be talking about our thoughts on Limitless Wrestling, our first Limitless Wrestling show. Limitless Wrestling heavyweight champion Alec Price, who is teaming with Anthony Green against Ace Romero and JT Dunn. We're going to have Basic Becca versus the Renaissance Woman of Wrestling, Hyun. I apologize if that's incorrect pronunciation. I've never seen you wrestle before, but I'll know it by next week. We'll also be seeing the dog collar match between the Beefer, Big Beef, against, I can't get over that name. Charlie Manson, that's who he's facing. Charles Manson, I believe is how it's actually called. He'll probably kill me if he hears me call him Charlie. And there was a never match announced, but I'm forgetting it at this time.
It's okay. You guys will find, you'll hear all the details once we get to this episode.
MSP versus Bear Country. That was the ever match. We're gonna get to see the number 50 team in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 50 face AEW's own Bear Country. So get ready to hear all about it next week on 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.